in black, Rough Riders in white. The first team in the CFL underway here from Calgary. Bartel boots down to the Calgary 32. Romar Morris had a hole up the middle. 40, 45, 50 midfield. Romar Morris is gone. Romar Morris all the way to the house. Touchdown, Stampeders. No flags. 78 yards. And the Stampeders lead. And Caleros will line up in shotgun. The give is to Trey Mason inside. Touchdown, Riders. Mason is second of the year, and the Riders regain the lead. Back-to-back sacks by Calgary to force the Riders into a field goal attempt here from Brent Louthan, who was good from 50 yards earlier. This from 27. Josh Bartel gets it down. Louthan gets it off, and he's good. And the Riders lead 13-10. Mitchell in shotgun from the Rider 4-yard line, and he'll go to the air. Puts it up on the back left corner. It is caught for the touchdown. Lamar Durant. Touchdown, Calgary. And it's 19-18, Riders. Here they come. First and goal from the Calgary 1. Again, Nick Marshall under center. And again with a quarterback keep. And this time, Nick Marshall's got to be in there. Touchdown, Riders, for the rookie from Auburn. This is it. The game is on the line. Calgary with 5 seconds to go from their 31. Mitchell drops. Dancing in the pocket, steps up, and here's the Hail Mary toss. And it is incomplete, down to the Rider 15, and that's it. This one's over. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders win in Calgary, 29-24.
Live from Mosaic Stadium in Saskatchewan, the Rider Nation pregame is on the air. Good afternoon, everybody. Here today in Regina, it's a Week 20 battle between the 11-6 Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the 9-7 BC Lions. It's the second and final game of the season series between the two football clubs. Riders winning the opener back in Week 11, 24-21 at Vancouver. We're brought to you by Redhead Equipment, the Cooperator. See Jeremy Saxby at Southside Financial Services in Regina and Sask Milk. We're joined by the Riders, John Murphy. And Murph, an hour before game time, what's the team's mindset going into this one?
Well, I think, the important thing here, in today's game is starting to establish or reestablish the home field. This is potentially where we could play the next two games, depending on how things play out. At the very least, we want to, play our last regular season game to the best of our ability and put ourselves in the best position possible. And I think what you've seen is a club that has shown the ability to rally when things haven't gone well, whether it's the loss in Winnipeg or the early season loss of the starting quarterback, and then rally back in games in the third and fourth quarter where maybe we haven't played our best football at the beginning stages. And then I think last week, kind of putting it all together and playing a good four-quarter game against a very good football club on the road, now presents us with an opportunity to go out this afternoon. And, the one thing that you want to do is control all the outcomes that you can control. And this is an opportunity for us to control finishing off with the best record we can and then letting the rest of it play out.
I know we're looking forward at BC, but last week, obviously, that's the type of football you need this team playing from now until the rest of the season. Because if you do that, chances are you're in Edmonton and you might be hoisting that trophy. And I know that's a little premature to start talking about that, but that's the Saskatchewan Rough Rider football that you need to see down the stretch.
Right. I think, you want to see all three phases playing, collectively, but then also individually as well, being able to win a game with any side, any side of the ball, being able to contribute and give you the best chance, on a, play in and play out basis. And then, what we've talked about, about the last couple of big games that we played against Western teams, if our best players, play well and, play at their best, we have a really good chance to be in every game.
Being around here this week, the mood of the guys, you can't sense that they have no idea where they're going to be in a couple of weeks. They just want to come out here, get the job done, as you said, establish themselves at home, and beat a very good BC Lions team to know that you'll be here for at least the Western semifinal, if not the Western final.
Right, and I think the same thing is, these are clubs that you don't know exactly how it's all going to play out. You don't know who you're going to see, in a couple of weeks. I don't think you want to give anybody an indicator that you have a preference in your opponent. You'd rather go out and give each one of them as good a contest as you can. And then, like I said, the meaningful football you know, for us, we'll finish in four quarters and then having the bye week, the final week of the season, and be able to sit back and kind of watch, you know, who you may be playing, you know, in a playoff game, I think would play very well for us, especially coming off a big victory.
Riders assistant GM John Murphy with me this segment for the Wireless Age, McDougal Auctioneers and the Salford Group. Murph, having the bye in the last week, you can't do anything about it. You see the schedule way back when, you know this is going to happen. Is this a good thing for this football team or a bad thing? Because I've heard people say it's great. I've heard people say it's bad, especially if you end up finishing first. What's your thought on it? What's the organization's thought on it?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you would have known ahead of time, you know, what your situation is, then you probably have a different opinion. You know, obviously, if you're not in contention, you know, having the bye week as your final week would have been, you know, even worse. You would have had more weeks to see what you didn't, you know, accomplish in a season. I think where we're at and, you know, being able to then sit back and having not had a bye for an extended period of time and having played the number of games down the stretch against Western opponents that were all four-point games, that were all very important, and then also having the ability to offset the factor of having lost a few linemen down the stretch, potentially have it help, you know, getting a couple of guys closer to being healthy for, you know, a first-round playoff game. And then giving some of our vets a few days to kind of get off their legs and, you know, not come back from, you know, we played three games in 13 days and then a final game here against BC. So I think for our guys, it'll be a good kind of reset button, you know, to be able to get off their feet, get away from football for 2 or 3 days, and then get back in the mix knowing that they have a week in between games.
I just want to talk to you about a couple of areas and a couple of players. One of them, Josiah St. John. I know he's taken a lot of heat since he's come here for his performance or lack of it. He got thrown into the mix last week going up against Micah Johnson. Thought he handled himself great. Know there were a couple plays where maybe he knows he can be better on, but I thought he played all right. Do you feel that maybe that game's one that turns the corner for him moving forward?
Yeah, I think it turned the corner for him actually. You know, when he jumped in there, you know, when Blade it goes down, the first couple of plays, I think there's a little nervous energy and, you know, just kind of getting accustomed to taking a few punches, you know, in there, no pun intended. And, you know, after that against Winnipeg, I thought he graded out well. And I think the factor that what we're not talking about is how he played. We're not talking about how the offensive line, performed or didn't perform. Went out and ran the ball when we needed to run the ball, went out and had a good day passing. Of course, everybody can always play, you know, better and do better, you know, in any scenario. But I think that really has helped, I think, kind of turn the corner. And that's why I'm saying, you know, like the things that everybody looks at with the bye week and things, not everything is always about being off physically. It's some, you know, also being able to be off mentally. It's also about the guys being around each other more, you know, that, hey, I am one of the starting five. I am with that group now all the time. I'm repping with them. I'm training with them. I'm kind of in the, you know, doing extra film with those guys because normally it's the starting five and maybe the sixth and, you know, when those other guys are in the mix, but they're, you know, kind of with the other group. Now for him to be with those guys for a couple extra weeks and kind of go out there and earn his stripes on the field, I think it's helped his confidence greatly.
The other guy I want to talk about is KD Cannon. What can you tell me about him? He just sort of came on. I know he's got a pretty polished resume from his time down in college ball. How'd you find this guy? And he's been everything as advertised, and I think is only going to get better as he continues to learn this game.
Right. KD was a guy obviously very highly thought of, you know, at Baylor. You know, we were looking at some other guys a year ago and had negged him, and he almost came up last year, but, you know, wanted to get that one last NFL kind of shot out of the way. We were at the Houston-Dallas preseason game, which was the last one of his preseason this, you know, past year, and pretty much immediately 24 hours after clearing NFL waivers, you know, he was, you know, telling his agent, let me get up here, you know, this time I want to go, I don't want to wait, you know, for things. And he's got an exciting skill set for the CFL. He's obviously a kid who's played in front of 50, 60, 70,000 people. You saw the mood and the setting was not too big for him last week. And for your first game of your career to go up against a guy like Siante Evans, who's had a pretty good, you know, first 3 years, all-star caliber DB, and to not get overwhelmed in that scenario, I think bodes well for his future.
I know there's a lot of football to go, but man, it is hard to believe it ends here in about 3 hours for the regular season, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing is, you know, we're about to finish up here, and then I'll be heading outside. Cameco touchdown for dreams game. Yep. Today. in support of women's cancer. So I urge you, if you like me or if you don't like me, still come out, spend your $20, get a hand warmer. It doubles as also a pillow or, you know, a throw that you can put on your sofa. And the biggest thing is, like I said, having been a part of it for all 3 years, the money and that all goes to supplying these women that are dealing with possible terminal cancer, but just the families and how much effect that it's had, you know, on the community, and being someone who's seen, like, from nuts to bolts, how much time and effort Cameco and our people upstairs in the business office spend on this. Come out, we'll be between gates 2 and 3, starting right now at, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And when the gates open, we'll be on the north and south side between gates 2 and 3.
Sounds good, and I couldn't agree with you more. And, hey, people don't hate you now because you're just coming off a win over Calgary.
I'll see you in four quarters, Mitchell.
All right. John Murphy, Assistant GM, thanks for the time. This segment brought to you by Pioneer Protector, Harvest Max CR, Young's Equipment, Hal Insurance, and Casinos Regina and Moose Jaw, always entertaining. We'll throw it up to the booth and Rod Peterson when we come back. You are listening to Saskatchewan Rough Rider Football on the Cooperators Rider Radio Network.
Welcome back to Mosaic Stadium, everybody. A sunny, dare I say, gorgeous evening for football here, 52 minutes away from kickoff in a massive CFL game at Mosaic Stadium. Saskatchewan Rough Riders, BC Lions. Scruffy joining me in the booth for Pioneer Protector, Harvest Max CR, Young's Equipment, Hal Insurance, Casinos Regina, and Moose Jaw, always entertaining. My mind is teeming with thoughts, Mitchell. I don't know about you. Where do you want to start with this one?
There's so many different places where we could start. We've got two of the hottest football teams going at it in the CFL here. I don't know about you, Rod, but to steal a line from the great Ed Whalen in Stampede Wrestling, I think we're in for a ring-a-ding-dong dandy here this afternoon. I think this could come down to the kickers. I think it's one of those games that we could come right down to the last play. We thought there was a playoff intensity in here when the Edmonton Eskimos were here Thanksgiving Monday. I don't think it's even going to compare to that today, because this has a playoff feel written all over it. And, of course, what's at stake.
It is a playoff game, really.
Yep.
You know, and Ballsy and crew covered it very well on their portion of the pregame show, what is at stake. And I guess when I ask where I want to start, go back to Investors Group Field in Winnipeg last night, the Fog Bowl, where the Blue Bombers came back to beat the Calgary Stampeders 29-21. They are so excited in Winnipeg, and rightfully so. And we said it on the Sports Cage on Friday. That is a team that deserves to be in the playoffs with all the offseason moves they've made and the season they've had. Edmonton, Mitch, really doesn't. And last night, Winnipeg won to clinch. The Eskimos were eliminated. And that's not even the focus. The focus is the fact that the Calgary Stampeders lost. So first place is still out there. To accomplish that, the Riders have to win today over the BC Lions. And if they do, they'll accomplish at least keeping their pursuit of first alive, and they'll clinch second place. So for the Riders, it really is must win.
Yeah, and for the BC Lions, it's must win as well,
right?
Because they don't want to go. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers don't want to go out east. The BC Lions don't want to go out east.
I don't think so.
So this is for them a game as well. And obviously, like you said, for the Riders, you know, they would be more than happy to send the Lions home with a loss and shaking hands tonight with the Riders going to their BC guys. Hey, win next week. Finish strong. Because if they do that, the Riders do finish in first place. I didn't see the game last night in Winnipeg. I was here at the Huskies-Rams game. I saw some snippets of it. But from everything I heard, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, I wouldn't say they dominated the Calgary Stampeders, but I heard that they deserved to win that football game.
29-21 was the final. There was an officiating controversy, and I know you're a big Twitter guy, so you must have seen that.
I understand that Eric Rogers had a touchdown that was taken away. I didn't see the play.
I thought it was the wrong call, but I will say this, and even if the Riders were in that same situation, I would say you can't leave a game of that magnitude in the hands of the officials.
Absolutely.
You just can't.
Nope.
So, and by the way, should the Riders win today, yeah, they'll clinch second. But all won't be lost for next week. Riders will be on a bye, so the Lions go home to host the Calgary Stampeders. They'd have to win to stay in the West.
So it would still be a meaningful game for the BC Lions. So I guess when Luke came in here before the game, sat down, he said, what'd you think of the game last night? And I said, well, I didn't. It was hard to cheer for either team. And Luke said, well, good for us. And that's kind of where we're at.
It's never hard to cheer against Calgary, Rod. You know that.
No, somewhat hard to cheer for Winnipeg. And I'll lastly say this before we break and come back and talk about today's game. I was getting a flood of messages from Winnipeg last night. They're very excited. Obviously, clinching a playoff berth, and they want the Riders in the playoffs because they think they have the Riders' numbers. So I hope.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So I hope. This is the fans, wasn't the Bombers.
Wow.
I should clarify that. But I would hope for the Riders as we watch them limbering up downfield below us right now, 48 minutes away from kickoff. Their mind isn't wandering to a potential playoff meeting with anybody, that it's all on the BC Lions.
Yep.
And I'm sure that it is. And we'll talk about that more when we come back. We're for Sunbelt Rentals, Western Pizza, Flam and Sales, and your Saskatchewan Party Caucus. This is the Rider Nation pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Rider Nation pregame continues 45 minutes away from kickoff. Riders and the BC Lions here in week 20. We're brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, Connexus Credit Union, Marcus in New Holland, and Houston Pizza. Got some roster notes for you. The Riders scratch from their 46-man roster, cornerback Jovan Johnson and wide receiver Caleb Hawley. The BC Lions scratch returner Chris Rainey, which is big for them, and offensive lineman Antonio Johnson. And we're checking the earlier game in the CFL. The Ottawa Redblacks have a 27-13 lead at Hamilton. That one has 11 minutes to go. Ottawa's looking good to win it, and if they do, they'll clinch first place in the CFL East Division in what's become almost a turtle race out on the other side of the Canadian Football League. But here today, Mitch, have barely talked with you about this matchup today. You said two of the hottest teams, and really, BC is the hottest. They've won 7 of 8 here in the second half. And you know they've got plenty to play for. They got a healthy Travis Lule, or at least as healthy as he's going to be. And this is a different BC Lions team than we saw in August when the Riders beat him 24-21 out in Vancouver. They did not have Terrell Sutton. They did not have Devere Posey. And Sean Lemon was just sort of settling into their roster at that time. Since then, those guys have completely turned this season around for BC.
Those guys have done a tremendous amount for the BC Lions, but the guy that you mentioned, the guy that's been here for a while, that's the key, and that's Travis Lule. And as long as Travis Lule is playing at the level that he's playing at, the BC Lions are a very dangerous football team, and we've seen that. I know somebody said a couple of weeks ago, if Travis is 100% when he came back from his latest injury, it could spell trouble for the other teams in the West. I didn't disagree with that at the time, and I don't now. Travis Lule has the potential to carve up defenses. He's been doing it. As far as the Riders go, man, if they could bottle what they did 1 week ago tonight, you'd have to like their chances. And every week's a different challenge, and that BC defense will provide Zach Collaros with a little bit of a different challenge than what the Calgary Stampeders did. But you have to think that maybe that switch that Rider fans have been looking for, you know, 17, 18 weeks, maybe it finally got turned on. And I liked the addition of Cameron Marshall last week, and Katie Cannon. I talked about him with John Murphy in the pregame show. Naaman Roosevelt is back. Jordan Williams-Lambert had a huge contribution after getting back. Roddy, I just think this just has the potential to be one of the games of the year in the CFL tonight.
Well, so many people asked me today what I thought was going to happen, and I just kept answering that it's going to come down to Zach Collaros. Didn't have a good game in Winnipeg? None of them did. Had a great game in Calgary? They all did. He's the leader, Mitch. And if he's sharp, he's got a, let's say, 70% completion percentage today, and that's not on him. He's going to need time, and he's going to need guys holding on to passes. Comes down to Zach Collaros, and on the other side, Travis Lule, a lot of times it does.
Yeah, you know, you sit there and you go, okay, do you sit there and look at the O-line and what O-line protects better will win? Do you take a look at the defenses? Today, Rod, you're right. It's Zach Collaros and Travis Lule. And yeah, they're not on the field against one another, but whoever puts up the better numbers today chances are that team's walking out of here with the 2 points.
Scruffy, we'll see you at halftime.
All right.
Luke Mullender joins us next on the way. Riders head coach and GM Chris Jones and quarterback Zach Caleros as well before game time. This is the Rider Nation pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Live from Mosaic Stadium in Saskatchewan, the Canadian Football League is on the air. Hi again, everybody. This is Rod Peterson alongside Luke Mullender. And here today in Canada's football capital, it's a Week 20 showdown between the 11-6 Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the 9-7 BC Lions. Luke, last night's Calgary loss at Winnipeg means first place is still a possibility for the Riders, so that makes today's game even more imperative. A win today would at least clinch second, but the Lions have their eye on that spot as well, so it lines up a must-win game for both teams as they conclude their season series here today.
Yeah, this is just a huge opportunity for both squads. What I love about this matchup is both teams playing at such a high level in the Canadian Football League right now. We obviously know about how important that win last week against Calgary was, but for the BC Lions, they were in equally as important of a game that last week against the Edmonton Eskimos. They went in there and got it done at home. This is going to be a barn burner.
Looking at your three keys for today's game on offense for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, number one, you've got labeled first down success.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, this BC Lions, they're hunting like a true pack right now, and they live for second and six plus situations. Keeping them in second and four and five keeps them from pinning their ears back and attacking. And what I mean is keeps them from rushing the passer and focusing solely on that. If the Riders can get into these second and four and five situations, it's going to make them hesitate. For instance, it's going to make them read their keys versus just knowing that they can pin their ears back and rush the passer. Nobody's been playing better in the secondary than the BC Lions right now, too, and that has a big effect with how they rush the passer.
Another key, number two, interior offensive line play.
Yeah, you got to lock down the defensive tackles on this team, especially in passing situations. You know, everybody talks about Odell Willis and Sean Lemon, but let's be honest, Devon Coleman and Claudell Lewis are probably one of the best tandems in the Canadian Football League right now in that interior. They're hard to move off the line of scrimmage, and they can collapse the pocket with the best of them, and they're a big reason why Sean Lemon and Odell Willis are having such success on that edge.
And key number three for you is also on offense for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and that's a faster internal play clock for the quarterback.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, I think this is I'm focusing a lot on this BC Lions defense because, again, we talked about it the last time the Riders played the BC Lions. Hey, Nick Saban doesn't lose to his former assistant coaches, and I expect Chris Jones to come out here and handle a scheme versus Jarius Jackson, their first-year offensive coordinator. So, again, the BC secondary is locking wide receivers down. You look at that Edmonton Eskimo game, there was nobody open. And what it's doing is it's forcing quarterbacks to keep the football longer, and it's allowing Odell Willis and Sean Lemon to bend those edges and come back and get these sacks from behind. These aren't two defensive ends that are absolutely dominating physically, beating guys in quick one-on-one scenarios. These guys are taking their time because they know their secondary is covering downfield. I'm telling you, over the last couple games, there's been nobody open downfield. This BC secondary is a monster. Winston Rose, Anthony Orange, they're number one in the CFL with interceptions. The whole squad is playing a unit.
We're
36
minutes away from kickoff. This portion of the pregame brought to you by TruFlex Canola with Roundup Ready technology. A new legacy begins. Special blend by Weiser's, Sastel, and Young's Equipment. Coming up next, the Chris Jones Show. You're listening to the Rider Nation pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Rider Nation pregame continues from Mosaic Stadium, 33 minutes away from kickoff. It's time for the Chris Jones Show, brought to you by Seedmaster, CAA Saskatchewan, McDougall Auctioneers, and AGCO. And at his pregame news conference, Chris Jones told reporters his team is ready for this game.
Well, I mean, the guys know how hard they worked. You know, I just broke down just a little while ago, and you could feel the energies there. I mean, what we've got to do is just go out and remember that, you know, we didn't do really anything special against Calgary. It's not like we created new offenses and created new defenses. We went out and we executed in a couple of phases. And, again, I think last week in particular, we've got to play a little bit better defense and a little bit better special teams.
I know you're hoping there's a long ways to go this season, but is it hard to believe that we're at the end of the regular season?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, early in the year, I guess when we had all those bye weeks, it seemed very slow. But then once those bye weeks were open or over, rather, seemed like it got a little bit faster.
You said BC might be playing the best football out of anyone earlier this week. What have they done when you watch the film over the past seven games that's really impressed you?
Well, they continue to put themselves in a manageable second down situation offensively, and I think ultimately they've been winning close football games with that ability to run the football and be physical. Travis Lule, I mean, he's a tough out. You know, he's one of those guys that just keeps coming back and keeps coming back, and he's over the last three or four years he's faced multiple. You know, what would be career-ending injuries to other people, and he just seems to keep bouncing back.
Does their offense have a different look with Sutton and Posey, or do they just complement what they were already doing?
Well, I mean, they had some good players prior. I mean, Arsenault's a pretty good player too, but DeVere's come in and basically replaced Arsenault as their deep threat go-to guy, and certainly the big running back Sutton. I mean, his yards after catch are what makes him, he's not the flashy, guy, but he just, you look up and you think you've done a good job of defending the play, and it's second and three.
Coach of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Chris Jones, we're 31 minutes away from game time, and when we come back, we'll hear from the quarterback, Zach Caleros. This is the Rider Nation pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Twenty-eight minutes away from kickoff, Riders and BC Lions coming up. A must-win game for both teams. Riders need a victory to keep their hope for first place alive. The BC Lions need a victory to keep their hope for second place alive. So, everybody knows the importance, including Saskatchewan Rough Riders quarterback Zach Caleros, who says his team is amped up for this showdown.
Yeah, guys are definitely excited to play. These last couple weeks have been playoff type atmospheres, and with a lot on the line, thought we had a really good week of practice. Guys are focused and understand their expectations, and guys are ready to go.
How much time has the offense spent focusing on Odell Willis and Sean Lennon this week?
Yeah, it'd be a more of a question for the offensive lineman, but we understand what those two bring to the table. Coleman there in the middle as well is having a heck of a season. Really as a whole as a defense, they're a really, really fun group to watch on film and a really good group, and they're going to be tough to play against. We know from playing them earlier in the year, and they've only gotten better since then. So, they're going to come out and challenge you. They're going to play man coverage, mix in some zone pressure looks, and it's going to be a challenge for us for sure.
Having Naaman back in the huddle with you, what does that mean as far as leadership experience, stuff like that?
Yeah, it's huge. Anytime you can get a veteran guy out there with you who's been in moments like this, because not everything's going to go the way you plan it. Whether you have some early adversity somewhere in the middle of the game or later on, it's always nice to have a guy out there who's, again, been in a situation similar to that and understands those moments and can, just whether it's saying a few things or just the way that he carries himself calms the other guys down. Yeah, of course, like I said, just his demeanor and the way he carries himself. You guys have been around him for a long time. Naaman is not the biggest rah-rah guy, but again, guys see his work ethic and, just the way he carries himself in the locker room. Guys respect him and know that no moment is too big for him. And like you said, it's a calming effect for everybody, including myself.
That is Saskatchewan Rough Riders quarterback Zach Caleros, brought to you by the Cooperators. See Lori Jasper and her team in Yorkton, Capital Auto Mall, Nick Service, and Houston Pizza. 26 minutes away from kickoff. When we come back, we'll head down to the sidelines. This is the Rider Nation pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Four minutes away from game time at Mosaic Stadium. We're brought to you by Salford Group, Connexus Credit Union, Sastel, and Flamin Sales, and we could not ask for a better evening for football here in Canada's Queen City. Let's check out what's going down on the sidelines where Michael Ball will be all game long. Ballsy, go ahead.
Thanks, Rod. Yeah, the breeze is going to be a factor. I caught up with Travis Lule as he was walking off the field to the Lions locker room, and he said, especially in that open air end of the stadium where the Lions were warming up, he said that's going to be a tricky situation for both quarterbacks in this game, so that's something to watch. And fellas, I'm sure you talked about it because we did in our pregame show. This is the first time these teams have met in a game that had this much serious playoff implications since 2013, when your cohort up there, Rod, Luke Mulliter, was a member of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And, he was not, I'm thinking 2007. But Luke Mulliter would know that the Rough Riders in that game beat the BC Lions and then would go on to host that semifinal 2 weeks later, Rod, maybe Darian Durant's best performance as a Rough Rider. So we'll see what happens here today.
Well, it's awesome that the game means so much between these two West Division rivals. And by the way, Ballsy sideline reports are for Cooper Tire. Buy four Cooper Discoverer True North or qualifying Cooper tires and get a prepaid Evolution HT tire at your Cooper Tire dealer. We'll be back with more of the Rider Nation pregame after this timeout on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Doors are open. The Rider Nation is filing in. We're 20 minutes away from kickoff from the Riders and the BC Lions. And it's time for a look at the weather conditions. I'm telling you, we couldn't ask for much better. It's sunny, 12 degrees Celsius here, but windy, as Ballsy mentioned. It's coming out of the northwest at 32 kilometers an hour. But 1 year ago, when the Edmonton Eskimos were here, there was 10 feet of snow on top of the building and a very icy night. So you couldn't ask for much better as we approach Halloween here in week 20. And that's the weather conditions for Etter Seeds, your special crop buyer and processor just east of Regina, off Highway 33, online at etterseed.com. Now for the Riders pregame injury report for Sask Construction Safety. On the one-game injured list for the Rough Riders, a whack of names. Again, all these on the one game. Receiver Devon Bailey, linebacker Brandon Bartlett, offensive lineman Darius Bladick, D-tackle Mikhail Brooks, center Dan Clark, D-lineman Paul Dawson, cornerback Matt Elam, D-tackle McKenna Henry, D-lineman Kurt Majit, wide receiver Kenny Shaw, receiver returner Marcus Thigpen, and offensive lineman Taryn Vaughn. The rest of these on the six-game injured list. Safety Marc-Olivier Brouillette, linebacker Adrian Clark, kicker Tyler Crepina, wide receiver Jake Hardy, returner Christian Jones, defensive back Denzel Radford, and linebacker Mika Tites. That is the Riders' pregame injury report for the Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association. Injuries cost. Stop. Think. Save a life. A limb, your bottom line. Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association wants to remind you that safety pays. And by the way, for the Riders on their practice roster here in week 20, they are offensive lineman Emmanuel Adusi, D lineman Mathieu Breton, defensive back Reggie Hall, linebacker Dion King, defensive lineman Trezor Mafuta, kicker Felix Menard-Briere, defensive back Kachi Mwamba, running back Shaq Murray-Lawrence, and defensive back Marcel Young. On Tuesday, the Rough Riders announced that they had released rookie receiver Mitchell Picton, a draft choice from 2 years ago by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Had a chance to talk with his family today. Mitchell is in the plans of the Rough Riders. He is injured. He's still receiving treatment from the club, but is not allowed to practice due to that injury. So for the fans of Mitchell Picton, although released on Tuesday, he's still expected to be back in minicamp with the football club next year. We're 17 minutes away from kickoff here at Mosaic Stadium. When we come back, we will kick it off. The 11-6 Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the 9-7 BC Lions are coming up next on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.